Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Greg Cazera is here, too. Greg is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an engineer, environmentalist, multiple decades in the natural gas and oil industry, past president of the Virginia Oil and Gas Association, author of The Truth About Hydrofracking and the Next American Boom, author of Leadership Learned, obviously a highly intelligent individual, and we love having him on the show. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here. And economic development consultant. Now we're bringing industry back to the United States.
There you go. Exactly. And by the way, the title of his book is Just the Fracks, Ma'am. And I love that. So, all right. One of the things that just perplexes me, Greg, we have so many problems to solve here in the United States. We got a lot of stuff that we need to deal with, that are right in front of us. They're self-evident. They're causing issues, and most of them can be solved. But we don't seem to be able to address the next things that we need to work on, because we're still debating, we're still acting like things that we've already solved, things that aren't that much of a problem, things that are behind us, we keep coming back and relitigating, re-emerging some of those things that should be behind us, like socialism, for example. I'm confused. Why are we doing this? What's going on? What do you think?
I think the challenge is we got a lot of folks out there, particularly our young people, that don't know history. And, you know, if we don't understand history, if we don't understand how we got where we are, we're going to repeat it. It's kind of like if I make a mistake once, I better figure out that I don't want to do the same thing again.
That's right.
Do you realize young people out there that don't even, you and I remember the Arab oil embargo, but the energy crisis of, the 1990s and the early 2000s, there's young people don't even remember that. They don't remember $4 gasoline.
That's right.
And they don't understand that.
And they didn't study it in school. It wasn't part of their history.
Yeah.
I want to stick something in here that what you just said, since you brought it up. Folks, we're not beating up on millennials. We really aren't. Or even as part of Gen X and certainly the Gen Zs. We're not beating up on this. There is a trait, Greg, that I have seen among the millennials, especially over the last 20 years. They're family members, their employees. I've hired a bunch of millennials. But there is one trait that, in my opinion, is a major defect in their world, and it's what you said. They don't know history, Greg. They don't want to know it. Because when I try to put in perspective what we're about to do based on what I've already learned, they don't even want to hear that. They don't even want to hear my stories that are the foundation of what they're doing now. What they're working on right now didn't pop up out of the ether, out of the mist. It has its foundation, which is relevant to what we're doing going forward, and they don't even want to hear that. And that's right.
You raise a good point, and I think they're very mistrustful because, and I can understand because we got a lot of millennials. Their parents are, on drugs, in jail, you name it. They're broken homes, divorces, and unfortunately, one of my kids is part of that thing. So what's happening? I don't think they trust their parents. Now they tend to trust their grandparents more than their parents. But at the end of the day, I think what I love about millennials, though, Jim, is they can put it together. I was talking to a group of high school students.
I agree with you. They're probably the best humans we've ever raised, Greg.
They all really are. And here's get this one kid. He stands up and he says, "Mr. Cazera, I hear what you said about how much oil and natural gas we have." He says, "Help me. I don't understand why would Trump Russia ever want Trump to be president? Because, and he's explaining, you know, it would lower than that. It would lower, they understand economics, it would lower oil prices. And I start laughing. I said, you know, that's a great question. There's a whole bunch of people in Washington that didn't have the common sense that you have to even ask.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. But, you know, let me tell you a little anecdote. A few months ago, I was giving a speech to a pretty diverse group of people, and there were quite a few millennials there, and I was teasing them, and I said something about I don't make a big deal in my speeches about millennials, but it just sort of worked its way into this thing, and I said, you know, the thing about millennials is anything that's over 48 hours old, they're not interested in it, and they all laughed, they got a kick out of it. And let me tell you something. I wasn't really making a joke. That's kind of true. So then after the speech, a young man, obviously a millennial, walked up to me, pointed his finger right at me, and he said, "You are wrong what you said about 48 hours." I said, "I am? What is it?" He said, "It's 24. And guess what? He was not laughing. He was serious. They think anything older than, you know, very far back is irrelevant to them, and you and I both know that's not true. And that's what's going on with the debates that are going on with politics, with what to do about climate change, all that, right?
Oh, that's absolutely true. And you know, when we have people talking about, well, we don't need fossil fuels, and I laugh and say, well, you know, show me where someone has done well without them. Just show me. Don't talk about it. I'm not into talk. Show me. If this is going to work, if we don't need fossil fuels, if we can run this world on wind and solar, to pick one town, show me. Let's see that
I mean, as smart as they are, wouldn't you think the people who subscribe to the Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, wouldn't you think that they could say, okay, 12 years, that's not going to work. Maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, but not 12.
Well, and I'm not even sure at 40, but to your point, yeah. Well, the other piece they don't understand is it's not just fuel, because when we talk about where I am, here in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, is the only place we have on planet Earth where somebody can build a plant, have their feedstock, their natural gas and their natural gas liquids, and it's those liquids that make the products that we use every day, like these phones and our electric cars.
Hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that when we come back after the message. Folks, this is what Greg's talking about, is what part of the equation when companies that are overseas, U.S. companies overseas, are recasting their financial statements to move their plants back. Greg's going to talk about that after the break. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.